Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Hello and welcome to another iTricks Magic Week in Review. This is Michael Lauck back in the driver's seat. The dust is cleared from the international conventions, and I think everyone's home safe and sound. We're ready to move back on in the magic world and see what else is happening out there. Today, we have a very special guest, someone who actually helped us kick off this podcast when we brought it back as part of the Women in Magic special, but has never actually been on her own, and that is Ariane Black. Are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the real iTricks podcast. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm great. I'm sitting here at my computer.
Hey, so am I. What a coincidence.
So, yeah, it's I love the digital age.
It's kind of impressive. I worry though how much is being lost when you flip open, oh, I forget which magazine does this now off the top of my head, but one of the magic magazines frequently features old correspondence from like 100 or so years ago between magicians, or I just picked up the Skinner tapes and have been listening to them, and I wonder how much of these great conversations are being lost to history due to email and Skype and things like that.
Things like that are being lost, but then things are being saved. And I like to think that I am one of the people who is saving things. So, for me, now that I've started a television channel called Be Amazed, that is all magic content, one of my focuses on this channel is to restore and maintain some of the archival footage of magicians that's out there. There's so much, and if it's not saved, it will be lost.
Oh, yes, very much so, which is one of the reasons you're visiting us today. So let's go ahead and jump into that. Let's first kind of explain what it is and where it is to everybody. As you know, I'm already a member. I jumped right on it when you told me about it.
You did.
I did.
We love you for that.
Well, thank you. But I mean, I'm a big fan of history, and I'm a big fan of the history of magic, and I'm a big fan of kind of film, actually, in general. I ran movie theaters and art house movie theaters for years, so this was right up my alley. But why don't you go ahead and explain to all the iTricksters out there exactly what BeAmazed.tv is?
Well, I had an idea because I see a lot of the online digital channels that are all niche market channels, and I thought, wouldn't it be great to have a magic channel that had just all magic content, a historical, you know, early 1900s all the way through to present day. And that really hasn't been done, but it takes a lot of money and time and effort. And it wasn't until just recently that I met a partner who, you know, was able to help me do this and create this. And I brought Johnny Thompson in. So it's actually three of us. It's my one partner, Johnny Thompson, and myself that have put this channel together. And it's called Be Amazed. And if you go to beamazed.tv, you'll see it. And we're in the midst of making it so that it's a streaming channel, so that because Roku and ITV and all of those things want to carry us. And it'll stream right into your television, whether it's through an Apple device or an Xbox, all those things in the middle that do all that streaming. And you'll be able to sit and watch whatever magic shows you want on your television whenever you want, which I think is great.
Yeah, you know, right now you're in your beta. When is your official launch?
The official launch is August 1st, but we're doing a soft opening, just to get people in and get them, you know, excited about it. And we're actually going to do a little Kickstarter thing, because some of the equipment for digitizing this old footage is very expensive, because we don't want to just digitize it. We want to make sure that it's kind of remastered for digital television, so that it's really good quality. One of the examples is that there's a Mandrake the Magician, the television pilot that never aired. There's a version of it out there, and we have a version that's actually going up in a couple days on the site that is really poor quality, but it's getting the original and digitizing it so that you can watch it on your big screen TV and it'll look great. That costs a fair amount of money to do that.
Oh, definitely.
So, but we want to be able to do that with everything so that you can watch home movies of Houdini on your TV, and it'll be clear as day. It'll be like it was shot yesterday. It's just in black and white. You know, we want to be able to do that so that we can keep this footage and keep it alive, not just for the 100 years that it's managed to last, but for, you know, thousands of years.
Yeah. Right now, one of the things that I'm very excited about being on there, because I guess I'm just a magic nerd when it comes right down to it, is
we all are.
Yeah, the UF Grant lecture, and I have not had 26 minutes and 20 seconds or whatever it runs that I can say I can sit down and no one will bother me for this amount of time. But the second I do, that is where I'm going and what I am doing is watching that lecture.
Well, because the site is still kind of in its beta form, it's only the first part of the lecture, because that is a big thing with this channel that was extremely important to me, was I wanted to make this channel so that it wasn't just magicians that went there, but lay people. Anyone who wants to watch magic can go to this channel and watch magic shows. And so it's really important that we don't expose magic to people who don't know how magic is done. So the UF Grant lecture, it's actually the first part of a lecture. And so eventually on the site, we'll have a magician section only. And you'll be able to type in UF Grant, and part two will come up, and it'll have all the answers for the magicians.
Great. And that makes it all even cooler. I know from iTrix, we have what always surprises me is that among our readers and listeners, there is actually a fair amount of people who are not magicians on any level. It's hobbyists, nothing. They are just magic fans.
And it's magic fans that keep magicians alive.
Exactly.
And so we really, as a community of magicians, we really have to think about those fans that are out there and kind of start to cater to them, not to each other. Because I'm not saying to ignore each other. I'm just saying it's our fan base that really keeps us alive and keeps us in business.
Exactly. I mean, that's the difference. I think when you look at the magic industry, say when Genie, if you pick up like that first year or two of Genie, you know, 70 something years ago, and today is that magic had a large following. I mean, there was plenty of live entertainment out there, and it was not. You know, there wasn't nearly the amount of business going on where magicians, you know, made their living by lecturing to other magicians.
Right.
And there was definitely some of that, and there were clubs and everything, but it was still much more a viable living, you know, performance media, I guess, for lack of a better term. And it's important to remember that. I don't know if you caught any of the Korean lecture at the IBM SAM or workshop? Or
I was only able to be there for 2 days because I had a event for CBS television that I had to do. And because I do this event every year for CBS, they're actually talking to me about their magic shows that they've had on and giving them to us, you know, at a special rate because I volunteer for them every year.
Great. That's exciting. But
proving that volunteering actually pans out.
Well, that's good to know that there are real benefits because we do push the volunteering here. But the Koreans were talking about how magic in Korea, how there's a huge internet community, right? And it's hard to access from outside.
They have a television channel called Magic TV that ran for 10 years. And it just recently kind of closed down, not because they didn't have people watching, but the Korean television kind of works that way. It's very different from American television. But yeah, they have huge amounts of all of this television stuff. And that's one of the things that we want to tap into at Be Amazed. It's not just American television, but the Korean, the Japanese, the English, the Canadian magic shows from all over the world.
Yeah, I know when I was in China a few years ago, I got settled in my hotel. I was there working, which, you know, was an unpleasant experience. But
yeah, I was just going to say, I'm so sorry you had to go to China. I've been there. It was not fun.
I went and I worked in a factory in China. I was doing some consulting work. And it was really not fun. A factory in Shanghai in the summer is exactly where you don't want to be.
Let me give you another example. A factory in Poland in the summer or in the middle of winter is not where you want to be.
Oh, I bet. Actually, I'm pretty avowed to never be in a factory again.
Yeah, it was dismal and gray. And, I mean, the skies were gray, the uniforms were gray, the buildings were gray. It was so depressing.
That pretty much sums up how this Chinese factory was. But what surprised me was, you know, I went up to my hotel room and I'd just been on this 14-and-a-half-hour flight. And I immediately just hit the bed for a minute, stretched out, turned on the television. I have the advantage of speaking Chinese, so... I was just kind of see if I could get the lay of the land. And I turn on the television. First thing I turn on was some type of regional opera. I immediately turned that off. And the second thing that hit me was Franz Harari on
Magic Planet.
It actually was some kind of clip show. But it was a bit of Franz Harari, and then there was Lance Burton and a bunch of Eastern European performers I wasn't familiar with, and a few Asian ones. But almost every day I was in China for about 3 weeks, and almost every day I could find some type of magic show, either a special in its entirety or these kind of clip shows on. Without a television guide or anything, just flip through a few channels and boom, there was magic every single day. And that's one thing that has always stuck with me about how popular magic is in so much of the world.
Right. Well, and that's kind of one of the things I'm relying on, because for the memberships for the site, it's $1 a month or $10 for the year, which is nothing. In the grand scheme of things, that's not very much money at all to be able to watch whatever magic from wherever in the world. Now, right now, we're still in the baby phase, but, you know, 2 years from now, we will have 3,000 or 4,000 hours of magic from around the world on this site. And it will have stuff from China. And China, you're right, has an amazing amount of magic. And what's really interesting about China is that... in their circus schools, they teach magic. Magic is a common thing taught in their circus schools. And they don't care whether you're a male or a female. They don't differentiate that with magicians. They don't have that stereotypical image of a man doing magic in China, which is really interesting.
Yeah, some of my favorite things have come out of that. The name is just slipping by, but the young woman from China who performs while dancing. Do you know who I'm talking about?
She does magic?
She does magic and ballet.
Oh, I have not seen her. I will have to YouTube that.
You know, I know we have clips of it on iTrix, and her, like I said, as soon as I started talking about it, the name just fell right out of my head. But it's
I'll search the iTrix archives.
But it's the kind of thing that, you know, I'm not sure where else we would find that. But coming out of that, and then, you know, Korea has some exciting things, and
Korea has some very exciting things, but so does Japan.
Well, yeah, of course, you know, and you know, my own girls have really taken again an interest in magic recently, fueled more by the younger one. And what did it was, I was doing something else. I had Hulu on, and I had the English series The Magicians on, which, frankly, isn't even that good of a show. It's celebrities that, you know, really we don't know in America. She had no idea who any of the celebrities were, you know, working.
Well, but it was a little bit like Celebridabra, wasn't it?
It was, except that it's three different celebrities each week working with Barry and Stewart, Chris Korn, and Luis de Matos. And each of them takes a celebrity, and they kind of have a mini competition to see who does the best. And, I mean, it's not the fault of the magicians. It's just not, you know, like the best way to present magic with, you know, somebody who the rest of the week is, you know, a television presenter or, you know, part of a hip hop group. And
well,
all of a sudden they
were probably hoping that it was going to be more like Dancing with the Stars.
Well, there was at least one other season. There's only one season on Hulu, but I know there was at least one other.
The other season had Jason Latimer.
Okay, yeah, but even though, like I said, it didn't strike me as like the best show I'd ever seen by any stretch of the imagination. That caught my 10-year-old, and she has been doing card tricks now ever since.
Well, then that's all that counts, isn't it?
Exactly. She, except that I don't do card magic, so I'm running out of things to show her. I'm like, here,
right.
go off with this David Roth book now. Come back later.
Royal Road to Card Magic. You know, I tell people all the time, you can buy, you know, books that have all sorts of, you know, fun card tricks in them, but Royal Road teaches you the basics, and you will be able to do anything from that book forward.
I know. Now it's just convincing her to actually read, as opposed to just hit dad up for a lesson. And I'm keep telling her, I'm like, I don't do card magic. We're running out of things I can do. There's a whole lot of things I know what they are and can't do, and that's where we're getting to.
Yeah, yeah. Royal Road to Card Magic. It's a wonderful book. But England. When I was doing research for magic shows from England, they have so many shows that it is mind-boggling that are magic related.
Yeah, and they just don't filter over here for some reason in the way you would expect. And you see a little bit. I mean, the Travel Channel, you know, picked up one of the Dynamo series, and they'll throw on episodes at, like, you know, 10 a.m. on a
right.
Tuesday.
Well, and Darren Brown was picked up a couple years ago on one of the cable channels, and they only aired one season.
Yeah, yeah, he was on Sci-Fi, I think, for a few weeks. That was it.
Right. Yeah, no, because, well, they do shorter seasons, so he only had the 8 episodes in that season.
Right, but I mean, he had other shows that they could have picked up.
Right, yeah, I know. And so it's very interesting that there is that huge phenomenon of an English-speaking country that just embraces magic of all types. And then our English culture that just, you know, is very specific about kind of what they want to watch in magic. And so, you know, but variety shows are still really popular in England, and variety shows don't make it here in America at all, which is kind of confusing. I love watching variety shows.
I've been saying for a few years now that the time is ripe for a variety show. I mean, America's Got Talent is really kind of the closest thing we have to a true variety show.
Right. But we know from, well, from my own personal experiences, but also with like Rudy Kobe and Brett Daniels and the Pendragons, that they take really good magicians and make them look shitty. So
they're not always the kindest, to be true.
Yeah.
And what I think, you know, what we kind of need is a non-competition variety show. And there've been, you know, kind of slight feints at it, you know, and Wayne Brady had one a few years ago. But I think once the reality bubble finally bursts, once there is a bachelorette that no one cares about, a variety show is such a cheap thing to produce.
It is. And actually, it will be one of the things, because we're hoping that in the next 6 to 8 months that we will be producing our own television shows on Be Amazed. And that's one of the things that we want to do, is produce variety shows, produce magic shows that, you know, produce a, like a close-up show where you can sit and watch like a half hour of some amazing close-up performers. Because some of those guys, I mean, from around the world, it's just, you saw the Fast Brothers and some of the other shows at the Magic Convention.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The skill level is over the top, but they're still really entertaining. And I think that not only magicians, but lay people will enjoy these shows immensely. Especially now that, you know, there's a lot of shows coming out with the science of magic and how, you know, magic uses the brain and how it affects the brain and the way people think with using the use of misdirection and all the other tools that we have at our disposal as a magician to create that magical moment. And that's really interesting. You know, Discovery Channel did a whole series about it.
And National Geographic basically has one as well. And there's been a very successful series now lately again about a mentalist who solves crimes. And, you know, it's like magic just keeps kind of skirting around the spotlight somehow in America and these past few years. And hopefully...
Well, with the movie that's coming out, not the movie that's coming out, but with all the movies coming out with the Avengers, mm-hmm. You know, Mandrake was one of the Avengers, and they've actually been talking about making another Mandrake movie.
Mandrake was a guardian of the Earth.
You're right.
He was a different comic book. He was a different company because he came out of comic strips. I'm a comic
right.
nerd too, so. You know, I have a
yeah,
challenge.
And I'm looking at my Mandrake doll right now. You're right; it's Defenders of the Earth.
Yeah.
Yes, I do have the action figure.
There's nothing wrong with having action figures. I might have one or two laying around myself. I have a challenge for you, actually, with BMA's TV. Since you mentioned the Mandrake pilot,
I already have it.
Yeah. Did you know that they actually produced 6 episodes?
I know, but it's getting them.
I know it's they're out there. Code Norton said it in an interview, in 1964, when he was, he had heard himself performing at the New York World's Fair, and there was an interview in one of the magazines, while he was at home and his wife was out still doing shows at the World's Fair with Mark Wilson and everybody else who was performing at the World's Fair. And in that interview, he mentioned that they had actually shot something like 6 or 7 complete episodes. And there was some type of legal issue that had come up with the show. And that's why it had not aired. And they were still kind of holding out that might all get resolved and the show might actually still go on television. And of course it never did.
Well, and anything shot before like 1962 or something like that is now in public domain unless it's been re-registered and all the other stuff. And so a show that never made it probably was never re-registered, but it's finding it in the studio's archives.
Right.
And sometimes that actually takes going there and doing that.
B- But it, you know, so worth it if those could be found, because he created the magic, and because of the way the show was shot and being on location, that was the expense of the show. So a lot of the magic that was presented by Mandrake, Code Norton had to work out and actually perform, which is one of the things he talks about in that interview, is having to work out things poolside while Mandrake's in a bathing suit.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what.
And
sorry.
I was just going to say that a guy in a bathing suit on television back then would have been, you know, kind of scandalous too. Women would have tuned in for that.
Perhaps. I'm not sure what Code Norton looked like in a bathing suit, though. So don't speak too soon. But we're actually already at the break point. So we're going to take just a second for everyone to listen to this announcement, and we'll come back in just a second with Ariane Black.
iTricks.com.
If you have been reading along iTricks lately, you are undoubtedly aware that Joni Spina, who has been an invaluable asset to the magic community the last few years, is having some medical difficulties and could really use some help. If you have been looking for a way that you can help, we are pleased to pass along that until at least the end of July, PayPal donations are being accepted for Joni at registrar@ibmsam.com. So that's just PayPal to registrar, registrar, @ibmsam.com. Now, make sure that you put donation or Joni Spina or something like that in the comments. That was the account to take registrations for the convention. And now that that's over, I don't imagine anything else is coming in, but better to be safe than sorry. And we're back with Ariane Black, who is I'm not sure, the president, the creator, the voice, the face, the something of BMA's TV. Do you have
all of the above?
Title? All of the above.
I really kind of am all the above. I am the creator. I am president. I legally have the title of president. Although, you know, for my friends, I just have them call me Madam President.
Yeah, it's good not to get above yourself.
Yeah. but yeah, I'm like the curator. I'm the gatekeeper. I'm the, you know, kind of the everything and the face of BMAs right now. We would love to have, a face of BMAs. And we've been talking to a couple people that are really interested in kind of being the face of BMAs. But, because there's a lot of historical footage and because there's footage from all over the world, and the fact that it's a site that, it's not really a site, it's a television channel that people from all over the world can watch. We really want somebody who's going to embody that image of an international magician.
Right. Just one of the many difficulties I'm sure you're facing, putting this all together, but it is such a cool project. And I am so excited. I didn't even realize, I signed up as soon as you told me about it, like we said, just thinking this is something I was going to be able to access, on my computer or maybe my iPad, the possibility of me being able to, lay on my couch and throw this on the big screen through my Apple TV or Xbox or something like that is just great. That now I can inflict magic on my entire family.
Well, but it sounds like your daughter is thrilled.
Yes. Yes, it's just the wife that's a holdout at this point.
Oh, she will come around in the next 20 years.
Oh, no, she won't. Because her dad ruined her long before I ever met her on magic.
Oh, no. Oh, that's sad.
It is sad, but, I love her anyway.
But, magic is such a big part of my life that I truly want people to see magic and enjoy it just as much as I do. And the only way for me to do that was really creating this television channel. You know, magic has brought such an amazing amount of joy into my life. And I just love it. And I think everybody should.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like an MTV for magic.
It is.
What a great thing. Because I think if more people, you know, once you see it, and once you see good magic gets shot in the foot. I've said this before on the show, because there is not a recovery system, I feel. And if you go out and you see or experience, for example, bad music because your older brother is trying desperately to learn how to play the guitar despite the fact that, you know, he has no coordination and is tone deaf, and you know, you are just subjected for hours a day to like the worst interpretation of Stairway to Heaven ever. As soon as you get in your car or a car and turn on the radio, you will hear good music.
Right.
You turn on TV, there's good music. There's good music in the store half the time when you're shopping. People
will listen to elevator music and they will still go out and listen to good music.
Exactly. And there's not necessarily, if you're exposed to bad magic, that can really just turn you off to magic because you don't have that, you're not forced to see good magic on top of it. So if you associate
right.
magic with drunken Uncle Bernie, then that's what magic is. And we need that. We need that ability for people to go, oh, you know what? There are people that, you know, can do this without, you know, stinking a whiskey and falling over and dropping the quarter three times.
Yeah. And there's so much different styles and types of magic that it's out there, that, you know, there is a type of magic for everyone, just like with music. Music is a good example. You know, there's classical music, there's rock and roll, there's country, but magic's the same way. There's so many different styles of magic that if you don't like one, there's going to be another type of magic that you will enjoy. And there is so much good magic out there that just kind of gets lost in the shuffle of you know, people going, oh, I've seen that trick. Well, maybe you haven't seen it done by this other person, you know? And so that's why I believe that this project is so important, that it gives people the opportunity to go to the site, and if they just want to watch a stage magician, that's all that, yeah, they can go to Stage Magic, and that's all that's going to be in that section. They want to watch just close-up, they can go to that section and just watch close-up magic. You know, there's something in there for everybody. And that's also why I feel like the restoring the historical footage is so important. You know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, some of the magic that was out there really is still unbelievable today. And it's a shame that footage might be lost if this doesn't happen.
Yeah,
and that's why we're trying to raise money with the Kickstarter. We're going to, that'll be up and running like next week. You know, and we're not asking to raise money for the entire site. We're asking to raise money for the restoration of this historical footage.
And that's something that we should probably talk about just for a little bit. I don't know that a lot of people realize this. I mentioned I used to run movie theaters. I used to run art house shows, and I would do revival cinema and things like that. And I would get copies of film that were a few years, not necessarily that old in the grand history of things. Animal House is a great example of a film I got. That was just in terrible condition, and there are actually very few film copies of Animal House left. And you think, well, wait a minute, that's a huge movie, and it's out there, and yeah, it has been preserved, it is there, but if that hadn't already happened, if it hadn't been commercially viable to throw that on video early, you know, there would not be a very good film copy left of it. There are not great copies of, like, the Bruce Lee films. And, you know, that
right.
that was not that long ago. When you get to the 50s, film actually, besides the fact that it breaks and it's pulled and it's rubbed and when you use it, even if it just sits there in near perfect condition, the older film actually just breaks down. It actually turns to this kind of vinegary, ammonia substance. It smells terrible. There used to be chemicals that could restore that. They are now banned by the EPA, which makes film preservation that much harder. And,
right.
and this film literally will disintegrate if someone does not take it, run it, you know, treat it with...
And
with,
do something about it, yeah.
Exactly. And you know, and then that's been like AMC Movies, Movie Network on cable. That's been one of their big crusades, is restoring a bunch of these old movies. But when you take it and realize that most of the magic film out there is not even professional grade, it's 16 and 8 millimeter that was taken by magic enthusiasts like Del O'Dell loved to take movies. And, you know, a lot of the magic clubs would actually, when they had a good magician visit, they would get permission to film them and maybe take that around to some of the other clubs and trade with them things they had. You see references to that in the old magazines. And that's going to be on a much inferior grade of film that really, really is going to just literally disappear.
Right.
And that's not yep. a trick.
I know. And speaking of Del O'Dell, it makes me think of Chuck Jones, because I know that, you know, he knew her really well. And Chuck Jones had a television show that ran for like 3 years. It was a children's show every Saturday morning. And do you know that out of the 3 years, there is only one surviving episode?
Oh, I mean, that doesn't surprise me, because, you know, television is its own. Those early days of television, so much of that was not recorded, or if it was kinescoped to be moved around the country, you know, they just got rid of it when the Dumont Network finally
yep.
fell. They just threw it in the ocean.
Right, he said that they. Right, he said that they would take it and they'd record over it because it was so expensive to keep it.
Yeah, I mean, and even big networks, you know, shows like Doctor Who and the Avengers from Britain are missing now because the BBC recorded over the tapes.
Right.
So I mean,
we're trying to get copies of. Trying to think of the guy's name, David Nixon. So he did a magic series. There's some amazing stuff on it. I think it was pre Paul Daniels.
Right.
But you know,
there's a real chance
that's, and get it.
Yeah, there's a real chance that's gone, because he would have fallen into those BBC purge years that you know, they even got rid of their successful shows. They just couldn't imagine a use for this, which is so insane.
Yeah.
And there are so many local television shows that were probably out
yep,
there in America.
Fielding West had a kids show that ran for like 3 to 5 years in Florida. And when I was talking to Fielding, because I'm getting some other stuff from Fielding, and... he said that all he has of those shows are some publicity photos and a couple magic tricks. That's all he has.
That, you know, and that would have been at a time where hopefully there would have been tapes made.
That would have been in the 50s and 60s, late 50s,
early
60s.
Oh, it would have been that old. Might have still been kinescope, might have been film, although they were using tape by then, believe it or not. Charlie Chaplin
yeah.
actually used an early form of videotape. That's I know, it's terribly
well. he was ahead of his time. Charlie Chaplin was definitely ahead of his time.
Well, it's because he directed himself, and it was the only way for him to see the performance without, you know,
right.
going through the process and everything. So it's exciting that preservation is going to be so high up on your list because there are so many great things and hopefully bringing things in from other countries too. I know there are not even just performance series, but there are like magic based television shows from around the world or even some of the
old
American
shows. Right. Yeah. And Canada. Canada has a whole bunch of magic shows. But French Canada has a whole bunch of magic shows. I have been talking to Ty Ravine about some of his father's stuff, you know, Peter Ravine. And I have a show that Peter did in French in Montreal. And it's in this beautiful old theater. But, yeah, it's funny to think of Peter Ravine doing an entire show in French.
Yeah, but it makes sense. I mean, once you say it, it makes sense to me. I spend so much time going through old magazines, you know, researching the Monday history articles for iTrix, and I am just constantly amazed at how many magic television shows are mentioned in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and even in, you know, the late 20s and early 30s. Television was a constant theme. They're like, it's coming, get ready. This is going to be, you know, this is going to be our thing. This is going to be perfect for us. And those early days.
Well, yeah, Johnny Carson loved having magicians on. You know, I want to do a special that has just the magicians that appeared on Johnny Carson. Same with Merv Griffin had magicians on a lot. Same with the really big show guy, Ed Sullivan.
Ed Sullivan.
It's funny because they do specials about Ed Sullivan where they just take certain performers, but they have not done one that just has magicians.
Actually, they did, and it is way out of print.
but it doesn't have all the magicians.
No, it doesn't have all of them. I mean, that would be a big, big thing. But there was a one or two disc set that is out of print. That did do that. But yeah, there were so many performances on that. And Dick Cavett, of course, had magicians.
Yep.
And you know, I remember Mike Douglas occasionally having magicians. And even just, you know, when you go back to I grew up in the 70s, and I remember the big magic specials. I mean, that's really what kind of probably hooked me on magic. I had somebody in my family who got me interested early on. But I remember thinking that, like, I do these things, these tricks, but someday when I'm a professional, I'm going to have, you know, elephants and boxes and all these. Because in the 70s, you know, Copperfield, Doug Henning, Blackstone, you know, Mark Wilson was going to China and all that. And a lot of that, you know, I'm surprised that a lot of that you can't find anywhere. And it would be great to see some of that stuff again, or even Bill Bixby's The Magician television series.
Yeah, actually, that's one of the things we're talking to CBS about, because they have that.
Oh, that would be awesome.
And, you know, there's so many magicians that I talked to who grew up with the Bill Bixby series. And you know, there was a television show in Canada with a magician named Dale Harney. And I geeked out the other day because I was talking to him on the phone. But it took me about half an hour to track down a number for him. And I was over at Johnny Thompson's house. And I did not realize that Johnny Thompson was the booker on that show for 3 years. But I grew up watching this guy, Dale Harney, and he would have some of the most amazing magicians on. And it was because Johnny Thompson was booking all of his friends onto that show.
Well,
and so Americans had never seen it. And it is such a fantastic show. And Dale's now tracking them down and getting permission so that we can have them on the channel.
That's all. It's going to be so great. So it's probably time to tell everybody where they can find all this again, because we're actually coming to the end of our time together, believe it or not.
Oh, no. Well, they can go to beamazed.tv. That's BEAMAZED.TV. And it'll take them to the front page, and they can click on that. And they can sign up. And like I said, it's $1 a month or $10 for the year. Right now, we have like 30 hours up, but we are adding we're adding new shows every day. Every day we add new things.
Which is great. It's already, I see a great deal of my time is going to be wasted on this. I haven't, I'll admit, I have not yet seen if it will run on my iPad, just because
It will run on your iPad? I have an iPad here, and
I don't need that in my life. I'm unproductive enough as it is.
Oh, I have figured out how to be productive. Although I will say that one of the best things about doing this for me means that I now, you know, and it's funny, I'm not getting paid to do this. I have not taken a single cent from creating this television channel. I'm hoping eventually I'll make some money from it, but for me, there's no point in making it or taking any money from it until it's fully up and running and exactly where I need it to be so that it's where everybody else is really going to enjoy themselves watching it. But yeah, it's, you know, that I now feel like, you know, I have to watch these things. And as I watch them, I'm just so amazed. So amazed. You know, some of the footage of Houdini, because we put up the Houdini serial just recently.
The Master Mystery, yeah.
Yeah. And he, you know, when you watch him actually doing the escapes, phenomenal. And it's funny because there's information out there that says that, you know, producers were really upset with him because he made the escapes look easy. But when you watch them and you kind of know what's involved in it, it's fascinating to hear about Houdini and grow up knowing about him, but to actually see him performing live. And all of a sudden it clicked in my head that he was a trendsetter of the time. You know, suits that he wore, other people would be interested in. You know, the way he had his hair and everything else,
he was like P. Diddy or Kanye West. He really, really was like a huge deal, yeah.
And when you think of him like that, and you actually see him, it suddenly clicked in my head of what a huge star Houdini really was.
And you're going to help keep that going on now, which is
I hope exciting. So. Yeah, and you know Del Rey and Cardini and all of those older performers that people have only ever seen really one little snippet of footage of. We're finding all sorts of footage of those people.
Yeah, I know. I have found over the years references in old magazines to like private films of Cardini, and I'm just like, oh, I want to see those. I've watched that NBC special with his act. I don't know how many times because Cardini
Festival of Magic.
Yes, yeah, but I mean he just blows me away every time. I've seen that act a jillion times and enjoy it every time I watch it. And I just knowing that like that there's definitely some he used to let people take
well,
footage
and,
of him.
Right. And here's the other thing that I am doing with the site is that when we get content and when we get content from family members like that, we actually pay them. And then they get a royalty check. So, and the royalty check depends on how many people are signed up to the site. So, you know, if we have 100,000 viewers, then they get a percentage of that 100,000. But for some of these old performers that are in their late 70s, early 80s, that are living on these Social Security checks, for them to get a check for the $50 or $100 a month makes such a huge difference in their lives.
Well, you know what? Maybe that's the perfect way to wrap this up. Is we've got listeners, the iTricksters out there. We have people that. What if they have something that they think you might be interested in? What if they have some footage? How do they get a hold of you?
They can call me. They can call me. I will answer my phone any time of the day, unless I'm dead asleep. And I will answer, and yeah, I am looking for any and all footage. And we will take it and restore it. And yeah, people get paid for it.
All right. Can they find your number? Can they find your contact on the site then?
Yep. It is actually on the site under contact.
Okay. So beamazed.tv, everybody. If you have.
They can also, I was just going to say, they can also reach me at Ariane@beamazed.tv.
All right.
We were just given all of Ab Dixon's collection that includes Orson Welles stuff.
Nice. That's incredible. I'm so glad I'm in on this on the ground floor. I really am.
You actually have our membership number 5.
Well, there you go. There. I'll never have a low IBM number or anything like that, but now one day I'll be like, number 5. There you go.
So, yeah. We are looking for help from the Magic community with acquiring footage. And you know, joining up, it helps us. It doesn't just help us. It helps, you know, some of these senior performers that are out there.
That is so awesome. Thank you for spending some time with us today. And thank you for doing this, because I think this is such a great thing for Magic. It's just so exciting. Once again, it's beamazed.tv. Everybody check that out. And Ariane, thank you for joining us on iTrix.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you soon.
Oh, definitely. And everybody out there, thanks for listening. Until next week, for everything going on in the world of Magic, just visit us at iTrix.com.